Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leah.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bop, bop, bop.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bop, bop, bop.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Do me, baby. Oh, baby. I like it just like that. Yeah. Do me, baby. Yeah.
You can do me when you want to.
You can do me in the morning. You can do me in the night. You can do me when you want to do me. Oh. It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her. Kiss her. Love, wrong move. You're dead. That girl is poison. Poison like a poison dart. Poison ivy. Poison apple. Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is poison. Poison is a clubhouse. Some bad dude in a clubhouse.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch Radio Show, and it's funny when you hear Dan Roach, and it sounds like he's drunk. It means that Rich had to edit the music to, or edit his vocals to fit the music.
He's so energetic, he comes in and just rips through stuff that you got to kind of slow him down digitally right. in order to make
he
it
is,
work.
Or you could say he has absolutely no rhythm.
That is true.
Yeah, that he has failed in that aspect of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I did not watch the... I was in bed, in fact, around 9:30. I did not watch the game last night.
The Golden State... versus the Cavs game?
I did not watch that
it
game.
It is, and I don't think, John, I'm speaking hyperbole, it was the, if not, it was top three, most entertaining basketball games I watched all season.
Yeah.
It had everything. It had, not even just for the basketball reasons, because that's the least of it. It's that we got to see one of the biggest dumbasses in the NBA.
Be a dumbass.
J.R. Smith commit the ultimate dumbass.
It sounds like
night.
He was a Chris Webber situation.
It was...
Something
I
similar,
even think
actually.
It was, well,
yeah.
People
yeah.
were bringing that up and referencing that last night, but that it's one thing to do what Chris Webber did. To do what he did, and then the way everything was spun afterwards.
Yeah.
The post-game... I think I stayed up till 12:45 last night. Because after the game was over, I'm like, just get me a bowl of popcorn. I gotta see what everyone's going to say in the
locker room.
The head
coach and the player came out and said radically different things to the media after it was over.
It was awesome. I mean, and on top of that, it had everything going for it. It not only had like an unbelievable over-the-top performance by LeBron James, which, once again, I hate that guy, but to see that is astounding.
If for Cleveland to win, LeBron had to go nuclear. He went nuclear last night.
It's his best playoff performance ever. Yeah. On top of that, you had the referee controversy, who essentially almost gave Golden State a win.
Did you see all through the playoffs, Fred? We were talking about one referee in particular that the Celtics did not want to see.
He was
reffing the game last night.
And now, on a national stage, everyone's saying this guy, there's no way he should call any more games.
Yep.
So everyone's pissed off about that. And then you had the ultimate ending. It's something that. It's a play.
Something for everybody.
Last night at everything. So we'll get into that in full details. But what happened afterwards was just as entertaining as what happened during the game. It's one of the rare basketball games that if for some reason you see it being replayed, like I know that sometimes the NBA TV or whatever does it.
If you're home early.
Just start watch. Although the entire game was amazing because there was weird stuff going on the entire time.
No team had bigger than an 11-point lead.
Turn it on in the fourth quarter. and watch the fourth quarter in overtime.
And strictly from a Bankroll Boys perspective, almost a backdoor cover. Right. Almost a backdoor cover at the end of overtime because of all the technical free throws. It was great.
It was excellent. It was an excellent game, and we get to rip on J.R. Smith almost all morning long.
It's all J.R. Smith.
Yeah, he took out
Klay Thompson.
Oh yeah, well that's the other thing is that Draymond Green had a typical dirty Draymond Green play. At one point, he goes up and LeBron James is going up for like a layup. And Draymond Green takes his right hand to try to block the shot, and his left hand jams his finger in LeBron James's eye.
Yeah.
And James's eye gets bloody. Like, he's going around with a bloody eye. And you're like, okay.
He's dancing on the floor at the end of overtime, waving goodbye to Tristan Thompson after he's been ejected.
Dude, it's the best. There are ejections. So on top of that, you had a typical J.R. Smith, I'm not playing well, so I'm going to try to murder someone on the court, where he rolls underneath Klay Thompson.
I thought he legit slipped.
Oh, come on.
He almost took... No. I thought he slipped.
He's done that over and over again.
He is a dumbass, and he does bad things. I thought he legitimately slipped, but he almost took Klay Thompson, not only out of the game, out of the series.
Yeah. So, I mean,
With a roll block, hit him down low.
And Cleveland was playing great basketball. So that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, everyone thought that this was going to be a runaway deal for the Warriors, and Cleveland outplayed them for the majority of the game.
Well, the question is, can they play any better? But that's another
story. Well, I mean, were their souls crushed after what happened at the end of the game? I mean, you want to talk about there being disarray in the locker room. I can't even imagine what it was like afterwards. So, yeah.
Jared Smith didn't slip.
No, Fred, I'm with you. Of course he didn't.
That's a veteran move.
He does that all
replays.
The time.
I only saw it happen live, and then I saw the replay happen.
He didn't slip. He dove for the ball.
And then gave it an extra roll and went underneath Klay Thompson, and Klay Thompson falls and limps off the court. So you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, is that really it for him? And to be quite honest, I'd rather have the Cavs lose because I don't want LeBron James. I can't stand when he wins and everyone, you know, flips out on ESPN. However, I'm not a Golden State fan. So it's almost like I root for chaos. And last night we got
tons of it.
We got tons of it. And we got to hear Draymond Green like mocking other players at the post-game press conference. I mean, it was everything you wanted. So
he was the Draymond Greeniest Draymond Green you could ever hope for.
Yeah, he starts the game off by making some guy's eye bloody. LeBron James's eye bloody. And LeBron James is bitching about not being able to see and all that. Yeah. The post-game, you know, I was losing vision throughout the game. All right, dude.
Yeah.
He scored 51 points.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a real hard time.
He got tapped in the head and then sat down in the middle of the floor with his head between his legs for about 5 minutes. It was vintage. Remember back when LeBron was early in the league where he wouldn't get touched and he'd throw his head back and then collapse to the floor? We had one of those last night.
Now I feel bad about missing the game.
I thought it was going to be a blowout.
And you got to wonder what game two is going to be like, too, because now everyone's hot. I mean, everyone's like really pissed at everybody. And Tyronn Lue last night was one of the first times I actually liked him. He was likable because he couldn't hide his emotions.
Yeah.
He went straight out and said exactly what he was thinking.
He was so angry at J.R. Smith at
not only did he rip on J.R. Smith, he ripped on the refs. And, like, you know, obviously that's something that you get you in trouble. But he was like, they were garbage. And, you know, this is something that shouldn't have happened. But just him coming right out and just crapping all over his own player is admirable. To be quite honest, it was like the first time I'm like, you're all right, Ty Lue. Yeah. You're okay.
Game two, 8 o'clock, Fred, Sunday night.
now, an actual earlier game.
One of the two in the series, it doesn't start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I thought that I was safe. I thought that it was going to be a blowout. I thought I'd get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got me. I'm in because I was like fantastic. I was kind of... You know, like, resigned to the fact that this is going to be another boring, you know, matchup. But it's never been boring when they played each other. But I thought this year of all the years, and I was sick of the Cavaliers. I didn't want to watch them anymore. That sucked the way that I'm still kind of bitter about things ended with the Celtics. Now I'm in. They got me. These teams are just garbage people. Just playing garbage basketball who hate each other, and it is going to get personal. And there's going
it's
to be
going to get it already is
well it's
already personal.
It's going to get even worse because last night was about as bad as it gets.
Yeah,
it was great.
And it's fun as a fan. This is one of those series that the casual, if it continues the way it is, the casual basketball fan cannot help but to turn on.
Have you seen the pictures that came out of the end of regulation of LeBron James yelling it? It's amazing.
Vintage Peyton Manning face. Seriously.
No, he looks like he's... No,
what are you doing?
I know. Peyton Manning face. It's just... He can't believe it. He's
incredulous.
A state of shock.
The entire crowd. And you'll hear even, like, they interviewed Steph Curry, and Steph Curry's like, even I had to second guess what was going on in the game by what J.R. Smith was doing. Like, I'm like,
did we lose?
What's going on here?
Yeah, I know.
And no, it's just J.R. Smith stupid. Really, really dumb.
Maybe there was a fine-ass booty in the...
he could have been distracted
by
some booty.
He made a beeline toward the sideline. There might have been a girl over there. That's true. I didn't think of that.
So if you're J.R. Smith, it's going to be a difficult time for you.
Yes. Oh, everyone hates you right now.
Yeah.
Everyone. LeBron James scored it was his best playoff performance ever. And they lost because of you.
Yep. That's right. There you are, standing with the basketball.
I mean, Windhorse,
5 feet from the basket, game tied, 4 seconds left.
No, Windhorse already had his pants off and had 2,000 words written about the epic night. That's right, about the epic night LeBron had.
No. The win or lose, Windhorse won the game. I mean, win or lose, Windhorse is, it's not the outcome of the game that matters to him.
Yeah.
Oh boy, J.R. Smith. Wow. How could you be so unaware?
Fred, I have no idea. And it wasn't like a bang-bang play.
No, I'm watching it.
It was after free throws. So you're sitting there, you have time to contemplate what was happening, and you still had no idea what the score was.
And one thing we didn't mention, Cleveland had a timeout left.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't know the score or whatever, you had time enough to have someone scream it to you from the sideline and then take a timeout with a couple of seconds left, and you still have the ball at midcourt.
Have you seen the back of the New York, it's the New York Post.
In fairness, though, I mean, there's no way if you're Tyronn Lue that you have any idea what's going on.
I mean, you said mouth agape.
No. It's not even an insult to him. It's just, wait, what? Like, what are you
doing? It takes at least a couple of seconds. That's a professional player who has no... Wait a second.
What he did was so stupid that everyone around him had to question what was actually happening on the court.
I don't blame... Now looking at it, I don't blame Tyronn Lue at all. I mean, I can't... I mean, you have no idea what's going on.
I kind of do, but I know what you're saying. It was so astoundingly dumb.
Theoretically.
That everybody's looking around like, what is he trying to do?
Theoretically, as the head coach, you could have called a timeout and gotten it.
Right,
but
yes.
He was so shocked that J.R. Smith was dribbling out the clock, he didn't think of it.
Right.
We all have our morning routine.
These kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I just want to take this very quickly. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
And, you know, Rich, I think you used the term incredulous or somebody about, maybe LeBron James' face.
Yes.
If you could see me right now, that's my face right now. When I just had to listen to Amy effing Lawrence do another CBS Sports Minute, right when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, I had to listen to another birthday shout-out by Boomer. Now I got Amy Lawrence, whose nails on a chalkboard voice. I don't understand how she has a job at radio. But do you remember like 100 years ago when this woman would have like seizures when she'd hear like Mary Hart's voice on Entertainment Tonight?
What
Amy Lawrence's voice does now. I'm past the point where I'm angry. Now I'm really just asking genuinely, Fred, use your power. Why are you still playing these Sports Minutes?
Well, Boomer Esiason is a friend of the show, so that is the idea behind that. Amy Lawrence filling in is not good. I mean, Amy Lawrence is bad at radio. And we've tried to have her in when she was in the building.
Right over there.
Like she was right
15 feet from us.
And she politely declined.
And in fairness, she's not all 4 hours of the CBS Sports Minute, right? Like, I think it's only like two or three, and then we get somebody else.
No, she usually doesn't do it at all.
No, what I mean is this morning, like when Boomer's
out, you only
get like one or two of hers.
I don't know.
Two. Okay, so you'll get one more next hour, and then it'll be Brandon
some guy
Tierney
you've never
or something
heard.
Like that. Right here.
BT.
It'll be BT.
The BT.
That's right.
All right, Rich, so what happened yesterday?
Well, the Red Sox finally barf one up in Houston.
Fly ball left center on his horse, Mariznick. He's into the alley and he's got it. And that'll end it. 4-2 the final. Red Sox made it interesting in the ninth inning, but wind up losing game one, the first of the four-game series. TC goes to the Astros.
And then someone was shot. What was that? And then Dave O'Brien shot Jerry Remy. What was that sound
effect? At the Astrodome, remember, and Fred, back me up on this, at the Astrodome, when they used to win, there used to be like a picture of a gun shooting bullets that would bounce off the scoreboard. I think that was kind of an homage to that.
It was a, like in that pixelated, it was just like a bunch of lights.
Right. Yes. Slightly unsettling if you're at the game, but that was Nesson, and it was to be a battle of two of the best teams in baseball. Too bad Drew Pomeranz had to be a part of it. He allows four runs in five innings. The Red Sox fall to the Astros 4-2. Pomeranz has been pretty close to awful over the last several weeks.
I don't think he's close to it. He has been awful.
Yeah, in his
hasn't been very good at all.
Well, I mean, his numbers, you take a look at his like last three starts, he has allowed 13 runs in 13 and a half innings.
Yeah.
Egads. The good news is that in all those games, he's been followed up by Stephen Wright, who's been very good.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of had to clean up his mess, and he did so yesterday as well. On top of that, Pomeranz, according to everybody, has not only been horrible, but he's losing velocity. I think that they're saying, I think I heard him say that he's lost like 3 miles per hour off his fastball just since last year.
That was, that's been the story of the book on him. Now it's just happening earlier. In terms of Stephen Wright, that's good. You want your long reliever to really be on point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Limit the damage, hold the score right where it is.
That's right. That's an exciting thing.
He's the human cork.
That's right.
Right. When everything's just flooding, just whoop, there's Stephen Wright.
Yeah, you want your long your garbage time reliever to come in and really take care of business.
Well, Dustin Pedroia yesterday was scratched from the starting lineup due to knee soreness. Here was Alex Cora on the situation.
Just a bad day with his knee. Actually, he went out and ran. He was trying. You guys know how he is. But, just talking to Brad right now, and that's something that we knew going into this, that it was going to happen. He's going to have good days, bad days. We were wishing the bad days were like in 3 months, but today was a bad day.
And Dustin Pedroia was asked about his knee and how it was feeling.
Well, I was a little sore during BP, and then I just figured, you know, I was just it. And then, I'm all my activation stuff before the game, and then still a little sore. And then I went out and ran, and, I got to be honest with them right now.
I mean, unfortunately, that's going to be the story of Dustin Pedroia for the remainder of his time in the Red Sox.
You have to do your activation stuff.
Yep.
You got to activate.
It's
Wonder
important.
Twin powers.
It's very important.
You have to do your activation.
You do this
stuff.
Kind of thing. It's an 8-year, $110 million contract. He's going to be paid through the year 2021.
Yep.
He's 34.
And remember, that was considered a huge bargain at the time.
It was. He's making $15, $13, and then $12 million.
That was considered a huge bargain
when
that was signed.
He's going to be like an old car you constantly have to get checked on, and that's just what it's going to be like while he's here. So Sox and Houston do it again tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. So Bill Belichick yesterday got to meet the press. Everyone's out there with they're going over passing drills, right?
Yes. Passing camp.
Passing camp.
No Brady is passing camp.
Correct.
No Brady, not there, and no Rob Gronkowski. I thought the Rob Gronkowski thing was going to get ironed out by now. I thought we were all led to believe that the very first day that they could make some sort of contract extension, but they could renew his contract to give him more money. We thought that he was going to be out and about and with the team, but I guess that's not the case.
Hasn't happened yet, but according to Jeff Howe, who we've had on this program many times, of The Athletic, he insists that both sides are working towards a deal. It will get done, and everything will be fine.
All right. Well, Bill Belichick was asked about, is this first clip the guys asking about the place not being very fun? Okay, so as I said, it's open season now on Bill Belichick and his way of doing things, and you've got players on the Eagles who aren't even star players now talking trash.
Yeah, Tattoo McGee.
Oh, you're talking about Cassius Marsh? Oh, well, I mean, Tattoos McGee, Mr. Magic the Gathering, he opened up his mouth and started complaining, despite there being quotes to Jeff Howe that said completely the opposite from last season when he spoke with him. But,
well, you're on the team. You can't talk crap.
Here's Bill Belichick answering about, hey, why ain't any fun around here?
You mentioned in the past you're not the easiest guy to play for. Is it important for you to come up with ways for players to feel like they're enjoying themselves as they're putting in the work that you ask them to put in?
Yeah, we feel what's important to us is to win. So that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so we'll have no more of that.
Screw that. Everyone follow my lead. I've done this enough. You know, that's enough.
Not sure what's expected from
me. I'm telling you, the players evolve. The idea that you can keep doing the same thing over and over again is fool's gold.
We've talked to Bert Breer about this at length, and you can kind of understand Belichick's point of view. And Breer has said Belichick's the last of an old guard. There aren't many coaches like him, but because he's been so wildly successful and perhaps the best head football coach in NFL history, if you look at his resume, why should he believes, and I guess rightly so, why should I change? My way works.
Can you imagine him trying to have fun? Like trying to make like the guys have a lighthearted environment? Like he shows up with those Groucho glasses.
Hey, how's it going? Oh, look, it's funny.
Hey, no, no, but
look. Hey, look, why don't you smell my flower? My lapel.
You guys ever heard of Groucho Marx? He's a great comedian.
Take a bite of this gum.
Coughlin changed a little bit.
He did.
I mean, he evolved a little bit. So, but I mean,
but again, he didn't have the success Belichick had. He won a couple of Super Bowls, but still. I mean, there was a point in time where he went up and down a little bit with his franchise.
They were in the Super Bowl last year, and they could have won. So, I mean, he's got a lot of leeway. But it's been interesting because I've been wondering for a while with the evolution of the players and the, you know, you've been through, like, what, 3-4 generations of players now. If you don't adapt to what they want to do, it's going to be interesting. You're going to have more people calling him out, but he probably doesn't care.
But
they'll make the Super Bowl again this year. They better. It's in Atlanta.
Right. Which is why it won't happen.
Exactly.
Because really want to go.
Well, that was like the year it was in New Orleans. I really wanted to go, and of course they blow it that year. That would have been nice.
That would have been good.
Yeah. Well, the true questions were asked yesterday, the ones that really people wanted to know the answers to. Who cares about the fun in the locker room? This is what the world wanted to know.
So some of the media were critical this year about the decision to put Bon Jovi in the Hall of Fame. Would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, it's about time.
This is about time. And he actually got a smile out of
Jerry Thornton.
Jerry Thornton. Good job, Jerry Thornton.
And,
doing God's work.
Yeah. It's about time.
You get a sly little smile. Now you're talking about language.
Now you're talking about language. And then he ripped off the hoodie, and there was just a jean jacket with the arms cut off. Right. He's in summer wear.
Right. And he had, like, the Superman shirt on, and he, like, flew on a cable to the top of Gillette Stadium.
That's right. It would be like that Las Vegas Golden Knights night.
Yes.
You know, he just bungee corded backwards.
Sure.
I got six words for you. And that's all you need to know. You give love a bad name. There you go. Your ticket's been stamped to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, Bill.
That whole New Jersey record, underrated. She's a little runaway.
See, that wasn't on the New Jersey.
No, that was on 451.
Thank you, Bill Belichick.
That was on the before Slippery Went Away.
Yes, it was.
That was an underrated record as well. That was they couldn't pop, but back then you got a few swings at it before you had to. The label would give you some slack.
Is that what they would do? Okay.
Sambora and Jovi. Now that's a good cooking.
Still Jersey rock and roll.
Yes, it is.
Jersey rockers.
That's right. We will be back, Rich. What will we talk
about?
All
right, let's go ahead and get to some of the audio from this Golden State game. I mean, the post-game stuff is just as good as the in-game stuff, and everyone's throwing everyone under the bus, and everyone hates J.R. Smith.
All right, we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, I guess I missed. I didn't know it was my responsibility to sit and wait.
I don't blame
stay
you.
Stay up till 1:45 in the morning.
I thought this was going to be no fun, kind of a blowout.
But I will have to admit to the audience that I did not take heed. Whether alcohol induced or not, I went to sleep very early. And I missed out. I did miss out. I thought it was going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good enough to watch a replay.
I've watched enough of it now where I tend to think I've seen the best parts, but I could be wrong.
All right. Well, do you guys remember several years ago when the Patriots were playing the Colts and they ran that play where the quarterback and center lined up on one side of the field.
The fake punt that was ugly, yes.
Yeah, and then inexplicably the entire rest of the team was on the other side, and it was the biggest what the hell were they thinking moment in NFL history. Well, last night we may have seen the basketball equivalent of that.
Look to throw it in. Throw it to Looney. And that'll do it. Golden State survives in overtime to take game one of the NBA Finals. Despite a 51-point performance from LeBron James. And a little bad blood to finish up this one.
Okay, so at the end of the day, the Golden State Warriors take game one, 124-114. But that's like saying Goodfellas ends with Henry Hill and the Witness Protection Program, because everything that happened before all of that is truly the story and the best part of it. Let's just get two things out of the way first. Number one, the refs truly sucked. And surprise, surprise, the guy that the Celtics fans can't stand, Tony Brothers, as you said, was part of the crew. In the last minute of the game, they did something which I can't remember ever seeing before. I've been told it's happened, but I can't remember it ever happening.
Durant on the drive, slices inside, offensive foul. One official calling a charge, looked at the other. And LeBron James steps in and draws the charge on Durant. For Kevin Durant, his second personal foul. The officials talking. They can review it because it was in the restricted area.
And they can change it if they think it's a block. I think he's in a legal guarding position.
So they go back and determine that something they originally called a charge on Kevin Durant was really a blocking foul on LeBron James. And I guess the rule states that you can go back and review these things if you have any questions as to whether or not the blocker was outside the restricted area. And there was no question. LeBron was like 3 feet outside of it. So instead of turning over the ball, Durant gets to tie the game from the free throw line. Secondly, LeBron James was playing on a different planet, scoring his own playoff high of 51 points. 51 points. So you've got LeBron James playing his finest basketball game ever, the refs working against you. That's why this final play of regulation was the greatest. Cleveland is down by one when George Hill gets fouled and gets sent to the free throw line with just under 5 seconds left in the game. George Hill makes the first one, ties it. Then J.R. Smith will go down in infamy for this play.
Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked. And we'll go to overtime. You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
He didn't know the score.
I think exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
So J.R. Smith gets the rebound directly under the bucket. Like, he couldn't be in a better position on the court to either jump and pop it back in for a quick two or draw a foul in an attempt to do so. But instead, he runs to the three-point line and tries to run out the clock, and LeBron is screaming the entire time.
Now, by the way,
shoot!
The three-point line that's right behind him.
No.
He went across the floor to the opposite side.
He goes kitty corner, and I think the only reason he passes it off and there's a three-point attempt is
LeBron is
like 5 feet away, just screaming at him.
Everyone's going, "What are you doing?" And like, and you see the guys in the Golden State Warriors, like Steph Curry, like confused, and so they just start like chasing him around. And of course, after that, in overtime, Cleveland gets throttled. You knew it was going to happen. Once that happens, there's no way they're coming
Game's
back from
over.
That.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, in overtime, Tristan Thompson was ejected for contesting a shot.
By the way,
what happened?
Tony Brothers striking again.
Oh my gosh! And then he got so pissed he was ejected, and Draymond was mocking him that he took a basketball and shoved it into Draymond Green's face, which was fun. But let's get.
I love Draymond Green. So
he's
much.
Great. Well, his post game stuff was even better.
He was dancing,
because, you know,
dancing on the floor. Tristan Thompson leaves.
Of course, he was dancing because they were beaten. Like, the Cavaliers should have won that game.
But you never see that.
He's
a professional athlete that's in his mid-20s. Maybe if you're, say, 10 or 8, maybe you dance a little bit.
Well, let's get to the post-game fun, shall we? Let's start with Tyronn Lue, who said, I'm sick and tired of sticking up for my awful players who aren't named LeBron James. Here he is yesterday being asked about what happened with J.R. Smith.
The play at the end of regulation.
He thought it was over.
Thought it was over.
He thought we were up one.
Okay, and he continues, and he's like scratching his head. And
how
he's just
is that possible?
Dude,
that you don't know the score of a professional basketball game. How is that? Like, you have to be on Mars to not know the score.
Here's the only explanation you could have, not for last night, but for not knowing the score, is that if you were in the middle of some bang-bang, back-and-forth scoring, and it was crunch time, and you just didn't have time to think, there were free-throw shots being made. You had all the time in the world to figure out what you were going to do.
You would think that you would know if Hill makes his second shot, you know, we're bearing down, like, you know, like,
yes,
that there is, don't foul. And you would think that from the bench they're yelling, if he makes this, don't foul, don't foul.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he took that as we're winning.
So Tyronn Lue says, well, he told me he thought we were up by one, and he's just like shaking his head in disbelief. What Lue seems to bring... By the way,
Cleveland's not winning this series.
Well, now they can't. now they can't. I mean,
this is... That's it.
That was their chance.
Yeah. And by the way, J.R. Smith, they showed it like 50 times, and I couldn't get enough of each time. They showed him after LeBron James was freaking out. He mouthed the words, I thought we were up, to LeBron James. So
it was, by the way, you don't need to be a professional lip reader to see it. It's obvious that's what he said.
I thought we were up.
Which makes his post-game press conference even better.
Let's get to what J.R. Smith said when he was asked. And by the way, there were like 100 people in his locker.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, you know, got the microphones, and here's what he said about how the game ended.
Trying to get no space to bring it out to get it, maybe get a shot off. And then I see him. I looked over at LeBron. He looked like he was trying to call a timeout, so I just stopped. And then, game was over.
You knew you were tied. You didn't think you were leading?
No, I seen it. I knew we were tied. I thought we was going to call timeout because I got the rebound. I'm pretty sure everybody didn't think I was going to shoot over Katie right there. So.
On the replay,
it
looked like you said to LeBron, I thought we were ahead.
If I thought we were ahead, then I was just held on to the ball. That fouled me. But clearly that wasn't the case.
Okay, all right. So you said you thought you were tied. And then at the end, did he just say, I thought we were ahead?
I thought we were ahead. No, and then he thought we were ahead and they were going to foul me.
Yeah. So which one is it?
No, he thought they were ahead. And
he thought
they
someone
were going
was
going to
call time
him.
Out for
no,
him.
No, and then the story changes is that he thought that they were up by one and that they were going to foul him to stop the clock.
It's like arguing with one of your kids who keeps lying to make it worse.
Right.
So
all right. Well, let's get back to more highlights. We will do that.
Okay.
Let's break.
Yep.
Because I have a feeling there's a lot to talk about.
LeBron, not happy.
I would imagine
not
so.
Not happy after the game.
I would imagine that's the case. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
James drives, and his foul got hit in the face, and he went down quickly. Another hard drive to the basket. Draymond Green just picked up his third personal. Looked a little woozy there. Right in the face.
But what are you arguing about? That's my question. That's a foul.
Are you asking what is Draymond Green arguing about?
Yeah, that's a foul.
He argues all the time.
He jams his finger in his eye. He's like, what? What are you going to be fouling me? His eye is bleeding.
That's why he's the best.
He is the best.
He's something.
He's the best.
Love to have Draymond Green on the Celtics.
Yep.
That team's not near. I contend that he's the second most important player on that team.
Well, Fred, you saw what happened the year that he got suspended. Yep. I mean, Cleveland ended up winning.
I think it's Durant and then him. And then everyone else. Because I think you can shut down Curry if you want to.
I think that is actually an easy argument to make.
Yep. All right. So yesterday, a game that, again, I have to confess to the audience that I paid no heed to until this morning when I saw that all hell broke loose.
Mm-hmm.
J.R. Smith, if you didn't see, which I would imagine a lot of people didn't, the game is tied. George Hill misses a free throw. J.R. Smith gets the rebound under the basket. It's either an easy follow-up or it's a foul. He decides then to go kitty corner and dribble to the three-point line where LeBron James is screaming at him,
shoot. What are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? So he passes the ball off, and there's a missed shot.
Yeah. He didn't know the score. He thought that they were up. So, they go to overtime and get throttled in overtime. Ty Lue says this.
The play at the end of regulation.
He thought it was over.
Thought it was over.
He thought we were up one.
Okay. So then it was LeBron. So, and of course, but by the way, we misheard the end of the press conference with J.R. Smith. Somebody said, if you were up, what would you have done? He goes, well, I would have held onto the ball if we were up. So he still is trying to go with the story that he knew the entire time that they were tied. And then it was LeBron's turn. LeBron, a guy who thought after scoring 51 points, he was going to be answering questions about why he was so awesome and his greatness and his legacy and all those stereotypical things that Brian Windhorst likes to ask about. But instead, he's got to deal with questions about J.R. Smith. LeBron, not a happy camper.
From listening to everybody's reaction to the play at the end with J.R. getting the rebound, there's still confusion about whether J.R. thought the game was tied or whether he thought you guys were ahead. From where you stood on the court and from talking to him after the play, what's your reaction to it? What's your version?
What do you mean, what's my version?
Well, did he think that the game was tied or did he think that you guys had it salted away?
How do I know that?
Or did you discuss it at all with him at the end of the play?
No. They asked me if I talked to JR about it. I said no already. I knew it was a tie game. We was down one. George Hill went up. He made the first one. We got the offensive rebound. You know, I thought we were all aware of what was going on. That's my view. So I don't know what JR was thinking. I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
I was just trying to see if you knew exactly what his state of mind was. Did he think that you guys had it won, or did he think he was trying to make a play? Not sure.
What do you mean, I'm not sure? No, I don't know his state of mind.
Did you know if he knew the score?
Thank you. LeBron puts down the microphone and walks out, and as he's passing the press, so he's walking out of the room, he says this.
You better tomorrow.
Be better tomorrow.
Oh, stop it. Jesus, God.
I mean, but imagine
what
being
did
him.
You think was going to happen when you stepped out there?
John,
I'll give LeBron James all the crap in the world, but I mean,
imagine being him. Imagine scoring 51 points. Nobody thought you were going to win that game.
And by the way, he can't say anything about J.R. Smith, so the only people he can get pissed at is the press.
Yep.
So I don't blame him at all. I mean, I don't blame him at all. He's fuming.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what went on. They're asking him what went on. He can't say what went on.
Yep.
I mean, if you took a brain scan of him, it would be saying FJR Smith, FJR Smith, FJR Smith, but he can't say it. So in terms of the press at that moment, as much crap as I give LeBron James, I have no problem at all with him doing that.
And don't you think that if the Cavaliers were to win the championship, people would say that this is his crowning achievement? Like, with all these nobodies, he was able to beat Golden State. So he had in his head, and in that game, they were leading for a lot of it. I mean, they were the better team for the most part.
Think
of LeBron. He scores more than he ever has in a game in the playoffs.
Don't even make it about that. He wants to win the championship. They're going to take game one on the road. It changes everything. It changes the whole series.
Yep.
And because of it, he could have taken
because of someone not knowing the score.
He could have taken George Hill missing both free throws. It would have been frustrating, but you know.
But people miss free throws.
Right. And that's just what happens. He wouldn't have been happy, but you know, that's the hand you've been dealt. But J.R. Smith, who he knows is stupid.
Right.
So he knows that going in, and he knows that he's capable of abject stupidity.
Well, think about LeBron James. He's this guy that's been praised for having such great basketball knowledge that he can recite every play that happened when he's on the
bench. Which is true.
And he's got one guy who doesn't even know what the score is.
He doesn't even know what the score is.
Who's signed for two more years after this one.
Two more years.
Yeah.
So let's...
LeBron's going to come back and play with that guy for two more years.
The whole book on J.R. Smith is people saw him play in high school and were like, this guy is like insanely good. Like he was not even a sharpshooter. That he was so incredibly athletic. Like some people described him as one of the most athletic players they've ever seen. But he's so dumb that was the big book on him.
So let's get to Draymond Green. So Draymond Green, and they're having the time of their life, because in overtime it was a party. It was just, they were humiliating the Cavaliers. It was like the Cavaliers were mentally crushed. They couldn't get over that massive F-up. And Draymond Green's like partying on the court, and he's got the crowd into it. So afterwards, Draymond and Steph Curry are sitting next to each other, and they're being asked about what happened with J.R. Smith.
You know, when he got the rebound, he probably could have laid it up. But nonetheless, you know, that's a part of the game. You know, being locked in, and I mean, you gotta know the score. That's just kind of basketball. Like, you gotta know if you're winning or losing or tie. So, you know, like I said, we'll take it. And
okay, so
I love him so much.
But there's like
I love Draymond Green.
I'm
so
gonna
much.
Pull like a full 2 minutes of his press coverage, because at first he thinks that he goes, you know, he just he was probably trying to throw it to LeBron. You know, he's probably trying to get out there, and I don't know, you know, what happened, and you know, blah blah blah. And then afterwards, they say, well, he goes, we probably just messed up. Dino's going, well, no, he says that he knew it was tied. And Draymond Green just starts laughing, just starts like cackling laughing, and goes, well, I don't know what's going on then, man, but you got to know the score. And the place like, once again just loses there. I mean, it was he's mocking him
and on top
in front of everyone.
And on top of all of this, I was reading this morning that the NBA is looking into possibly suspending Tristan Thompson for that elbow at the end, throwing the ball in Draymond's face. And Kevin Love apparently left the bench to break it up, which is a no-no under any circumstances.
By the way, the reason Tristan Thompson got so frustrated was that he got a flagrant two for something I still can't figure out what he did.
That's Tony Brothers.
He was contesting
again.
A shot. Yeah, so he got mad, and like it looked like he was punching Draymond Green.
A flagrant two for
but
no
he was
reason.
Shoving the ball in his face.
No, well, there's a lot to talk about.